My Life, Your Life Together podcast. Zach and Zach together again with a first-time guest who I met 15 minutes ago. Alex Johnson.
What's up, guys?
He is super white. No.
I was about to say it if you didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But...
Great intro.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Spot on.
Yes. And we're going to dive into his whole entire life from birth up until right now.
Up until 15 minutes ago when he met us.
Yeah. And how after he met us, it's all downhill from here.
Yeah. This was the peak.
Yes. You've peaked now that you're on a podcast with 13 listeners.
Yeah. I was telling everybody, I was like, yeah, I'm going to be on a podcast. And they're like, what? I'm like, it's not like crazy.
It's Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan asked me to come on.
Yeah.
I was talking to my mom last night. I was like, what was my blood sugar when I got diagnosed? Because I knew that was like something you guys were like.
It's a contest.
Wondering. Yeah.
It is.
So I was like, I knew it was like really high.
Like Snoop Dogg high?
Like Snoop Dogg high. Yeah. I was like, so, Mom, you remember like what I was, like how high I was? And she like texted me back. She was like, you're like around 750.
Oh, you blew us out of the water.
Yeah. You guys are like what, 400s, 500s?
I was 583 at last.
I was 547.
547. Yeah. Yeah. Like I was, I look back at pictures of it now, like of myself, like in that time. And I was like, dude, how did you not know you were like on the verge? Like literally on the verge. And my mom, she was a school nurse, still is. So she had always been like working with like diabetics and like taking care of them and everything. So she was around it all the time. And like, I think she was just like, we knew something was wrong. Like, I knew something was wrong. Like, it wasn't normal. Like, I was drinking gallons of liquids, you know what I mean?
Liquid death?
Yeah. Yeah. Liquid death. Have you ever had these?
I had it. It messes with my mind.
Why?
Like, they gave one to me at SPAC, and I expected it to be carbony or have a flavor, and I was like, it's just water in a can.
Well, this one is carbonated, and it is flavored.
Well, that's not the one that people at SPAC gave me for $27.
Well, you overpaid. You overpaid, my friend. You were paid. So,
So, how old were you when you started getting sick?
So, I was, like, thinking about it today, and I was diagnosed when I was 12. So, like, you guys were both 12, right?
Yeah. I was 11. You were 12.
Yeah. But, like, I think it, like, started when I was, like, 11. And it, like, slowly but surely, like, you know? Because, like I said, like, I was, like, 750. And that was like after, not drinking or eating like overnight.
Full on fast.
And I don't know if we included this forever, but like normal people, your fasting blood sugar should be
like 80.
Yeah. Like 80-ish, 90-ish.
Yeah.
100 is when I think they start to get like, we'll keep a close eye on you. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Like,
he normal... super failed that test.
Super failed.
Super failed.
Yeah. So, you know, I remember, like, the last week, like, when we were like, all right, my parents were like, all right, we got to get your, like, blood work done, figure out what's going on, because this isn't good. Like, what is this? Is it, like, a thyroid thing? Is it, like, you know? There was definitely something wrong. And, like, within the last week, like, I lost, like, 10 pounds in a week. And that's like I was a chubby like kid in like sixth grade, and like this was in seventh grade. I dropped probably like 70 pounds.
Wow.
In like a year. Like I was rail, dude.
Yeah.
I went from like, at my lowest weight, I was 120, and like, I'm like almost 6 foot. I was probably still growing, but I was a tall kid, you know?
Yeah.
Wild.
So it was just like,
yeah, I didn't lose anywhere near that much. I think I lost like 40 pounds and grew like 7 inches or something. So everybody was like, oh, it's just a growth spurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
I mean, it probably was like a little bit, right? Like,
oh yeah,
I think that's what it was.
I mean,
for
diabetes
me.
Right. Didn't make me taller.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well,
I had diabetes, but one benefit, I grew 7 inches.
Yeah. Well, you know, because I always thought, like, was it just the diabetes, like, that made me lose that weight, or was it because I was going through like a growth as well, and it kind of just like happened? Obviously, like getting down to 120, that was like, there's no way that was just a growth spurt. I was death.
Yeah.
Staring me in the eye. So, yeah. So didn't go into the hospital, which was like crazy.
So 7:50 yeah. And you didn't go to the hospital.
So my mom was like, cause she was a nurse and like my doctor was like, okay, like you're a nurse. Like you work with diabetics. Like I'm going to give you the stuff. So she got like, I got syringes and insulin, got like a glucose monitor, like a leftover one from one of the diabetics at like school. And she like
the like lost second, and found yeah. glucose monitors,
like the secondhand glucose monitors, you know.
Now, did you change the Lancet out of the one you got from the lost and found?
I think I did. Yeah. And my mom got me down to like 200
over what span
like
of time?
Like a 3 day period of time. She got me to the 200.
Okay, God bless her for being smart.
Yeah, and then I went.
It wasn't just a.
Yeah. No.
Because your body will start to adapt to, yeah. like, it's still, you know, killing you, but your body will
yeah.
try to normalize to the
yeah.
high blood sugar, and then you drop, like, if you did it in a day. 500
points in a day.
Yeah, your body would be like, oh, I'm low, and probably pass out or something crazy, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
so, after 3 days, you were
I was
better off.
I was better, and then I had an appointment set up at Albany Med, went there. They, you know, did all like the training
bullshit. Who was your doctor there?
I forgot her name. She was a black woman.
Dr. Linda Riddick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He used to work there.
Oh, really? She was right? The endocrinologist. I saw Dr. Riddick when I was admitted, like as an inpatient.
Uh-huh.
And then I transitioned to Christine yep. Wolfhart, who was a nurse practitioner.
Yep. Yeah, I had her for a little bit. And then I had Dr. Jim. Do you remember him? He was only there for like...
I never saw them.
Oh, okay. Yep. So I had Christine for a while. And then for like, I don't know how many years. I just was like going from doctor to doctor because I couldn't find anybody good. Christine was basically like, you're like too old to like for us to see you now. Like,
yeah.
you're not a child.
Yep.
So go find somebody else, you know?
I think I told the story of when I was transitioning out of peds into adult.
Yeah.
On the podcast, did I?
And I don't remember.
Christine was like, I want you to see this lady named Beth. She's another nurse practitioner, diabetes educator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Albany Med, adult. And so I called there and they're like, yeah, she doesn't work here. And I was like... My peds endo says she works there. Like, yeah, not coming up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm staring at her face on my computer.
Yeah.
She works there. Like, no, I was like, Elizabeth. And I gave the last name. She wouldn't care if I said her last name, but whatever. Like, yeah, no. So they put me with this lady named Dr. Starkman. And I have no problem saying her name. Nobody should ever see her for any reason. Am I gonna get what? That's not bad. I'm not like defaming her or anything, right? Yeah. It would be defamation if I called her if I said she was like an idiot and didn't know how to practice medicine, right?
I have no idea. I don't know what the defamation laws are.
Joe, no. But anyway, like my first appointment with her,
yeah.
She was like, I treat all my patients. We put you on the list for like a pancreatic and double kidney transplant.
What?
Like that was her like starting off lying to me. And I'm like 17, 18. I think I was 18. And I was like, huh? Because like at that point, that was like before my rebellious phase where I was still.
So you were still.
I was still really, really well controlled. And I was like, no, I don't want that. And I remember just like leaving the office and I called my peds endo. And then she was like, well, can I give your phone number to Beth? And I was like, yeah. And so the man called me. She's like, yeah, I'm still there, but I'm leaving. So they're not scheduling me patients.
Mm-hmm.
And then told me where she was going. And I was like, okay, I'll follow with you. But yeah, so I totally get where you're coming from about like not finding a good doctor that you vibe with.
Yeah. Yeah. It was wild. I was with this woman. I don't know her name. I wasn't with her long enough. And like, I came in and she was just always like a bitch to me, like mean. I'm like, I was afraid to go see her. Cause I was like, I did something wrong. Like I'm doing something wrong. Yeah. And I would hate like seeing her. And this one time she like yelled at me and she was like, if you keep this up, like I'm gonna have to put you on cholesterol medication. And I'm like 18, 19, you know, and I'm just like, what? Like cholesterol medication? Yeah. And my mom was in the office and she was like, we left and she's like, we're done with this woman. I'm like, yeah, that was just like awkward. Like, why are you yelling at me?
I was gonna say, no doctor should ever
be
yelling at their patients.
No.
Like that's...
It was like she was annoyed with me and I'm like, I'm sorry. Like... That, I don't know. I think, I also think like she was dealing with like a lot of like older, like diabetics, you know, like in their like 30s, 40s, 50s, you know what I mean?
Good for her.
Yeah. And, but
you're
it's like,
not them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every patient's different.
Yeah. I was like, I was in college. Like there was all kinds of like things like going on. I was just trying to do, I really wanted to do good. So left her, went to this other guy and he just was like trying to have, I was like, you know, I'm working out. Like I'm trying to like eat low carb, like I really want to like do well. And he's like, well, what are you eating? I'm like, well, I'll like wake up, like I'll have like a yogurt and like I'll have like a piece of like toast or whatever, but that's like getting me ready to like work out like in a couple hours, right? Like for like energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like I'm eating, you know, a cheeseburger or something that's like 80 carbs. It's like I'm eating 30 carbs for breakfast.
You're not waking up and like slamming a Cinnabon cinnamon roll.
No, and being no. And he's like, well, that's not low carb. Like, that's not low carb. I'm like, okay. And then he like wanted me to like piss in a jug. Like, he gave me this huge jug and he wanted me to pee in it for like 3 days straight. And like, we've all done like, I mean, you guys have definitely done for ketones and proteins and everything. And I'm like, why don't you just, like, what are you...
He just wanted your fermented urine. Are you sure this was a doctor? Was he an alley?
Well, so he actually got in trouble for something, like, weird.
You don't say.
Yeah.
The guy got in trouble?
So
I'll be darned.
So, yeah. So I stopped seeing him. And then I found, like, another... She was, like, a PA that would, like, come down from, like, Cooperstown.
PAs.
PAs and MPs. I love them.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know your experience.
I see a PA right now. I actually just got a new one. But they're great. They're great. Like, they do everything that you need. My new PA, like, I've only seen her once, and she was just like, we're getting you all this stuff. Like, we're getting you, like, a bunch of... do you guys use, like, the Basalar, I think? Basaglar?
I don't use it.
It's like the glucagon, but it's like the nasal spray one. She's like, I'm going to get you a bunch of those so you can just have them everywhere. I'm going to get you like all this stuff so you're just like stocked up. I'm like, sweet. So like I went to the pharmacy and I was just like, yeah, I'm here to pick up. And they're just like, it was like.
They bring out a cart.
They're just like, yeah. I'm like, this is like crazy. But I was like, hey, now I got it. Like I don't got to worry about it anymore. So that was like really cool. So yeah, after the weird piss, we're just gonna call him piss jug guy
for good reason, honestly.
Piss jug guy. I found a woman who would come down. So I'm originally from Herkimer, which is like Utica area. Yeah. There's nothing there.
No, there's not.
Cows. So cows and a lot of meth.
He's not from New York originally, so these jokes aren't landing with him.
Okay.
I mean the meth one does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cows and meth. It's crazy. It's a crazy. The smell is ridiculous. So you know, I saw her for a few years. She wasn't like she didn't like really push me. She wasn't like pushing me to like. Sounds bad, but she wasn't like pushing me to get better. She was just like trying to keep me like where I was. I think it was like maybe where I was in like my life, and she was just like, you know, we can change this on your pump. This was like when I was on Medtronic. Which I don't like. I was on Medtronic for like in Sarah. Ever. So yeah, forever. But the reason being, and I didn't find this out until I came to like Saratoga area, is that like Medtronic, it just like flooded the market in like that area.
Yeah.
So it's like
they were the only one for a while.
Yeah. So I didn't even know about like Tandem until I came here, and I was like. When they told me about Tandem and like...
How long have you been on Tandem?
It's probably been like a year and a half.
Okay.
And then
I've been on Tandem for like 2 years now.
Yeah. Yeah, it changed my... Like literally changed my life.
Oh, yeah, mine was 2021.
Yeah.
So...
That's a lie. Mine was 2020.
When did you start off on like syringes and stuff and then...
So I had a pretty quick transition. I think it's because like... My mom was just like pushing for me to get the best stuff. So obviously I was like on syringes like that first week. And then I was like instantly on pens. I think I was on pens for like maybe 6 months, and then I like was on my first pump. Like,
oh, wow.
Quick.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yep.
Real quick question that actually pertains to this, but it's going to sound and you've listened to our first podcast on diabetes. Mm-hmm. So do you share the same like utter and complete disdain for insurance companies?
So funny thing. I've been like going through so many issues like the past probably since, what was it, like April? So I'm on like Medicaid.
Okay.
And I was on Medicaid through Fidelis. Yeah. But it was like, it was okay. Like I was getting.
That was from a professional standpoint. Yeah. I hate the name of Fidelis.
Yeah. Well, I'm on like, I was getting everything I needed. I was like getting all my supplies straight through Tandem, okay. Which was great. Like yeah. They were on top, and like obviously they're going to do well. It's like their supplies. And then I was getting my Dexcom supplies through a pharmacy called Better Living Now. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. They were like, they were okay. I had issues with them, but like I got through, like it was okay.
It was so, okay living now?
Yeah, it was okay. It was okay living now.
Okay.
So just out of nowhere in like April, New York State just like changed everything for their like health insurance. So like I was taking off Fidelis and they like, I called Tana. I'm like, I'm ready for this month's supplies. And they're like, yeah, sorry. Like we can't give you your supplies this month. We're like referring you to this new company called CCS, and they're like out of like Florida, but
that's
like
who I use.
So you know what I'm. They fucking suck.
The onboarding process was pretty miserable, and then transitioning from my retired endocrinologist to my new endocrinologist, sending the same paperwork like 8 times.
Yeah,
but now that I don't have to talk to anybody and everything's reoccurring,
yeah,
that's fine.
So they, this past month, literally, so this happened like 2 months in a row. July going into August. So I needed my August supplies and it's like the 7th of August. I'm literally on my like last, like it's in me, like my last infusion set. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, yo, like what's going on? Like you guys said it would be here like in the first week. And the woman was like, yeah, we don't like. It's not, we don't have it like being shipped until like September 1st or whatever. I'm like, well, it's August and I don't have any insulin supply or a diabetes supplies, pump supplies. Like what's going on? So they fucked up somewhere. And I talked to people and like, they don't know what happened. Like I called them like later that day and I was like, hey, like what's going on? Haven't heard from you. Like I need my shit. And they're like, oh yeah, it's like being overnighted. I'm like, okay, thanks. Like what's going on? So then this past month, similar thing happened, but I feel like it was, what happened this month? I didn't get my supplies on time again. It was just like ridiculous. Like they didn't send them out on time. 3 people called me within the same day. I don't know. It was weird. So I've been dealing with CCS, just not doing well. And then, I have to get new insurance basically because I made too much money last year. So Medicaid isn't going to be like covering me for this upcoming year. And that like ends in October. So like, I'm like, and I just found that out like at the beginning of this month. It's just like, I don't know why we don't know this stuff. Like it's just a lot.
Cause it's in pieces of mail and fine print that nobody reads. They just sneak it in there so they can say we notified you.
Yeah,
literally. So I work, like I said, I work at a doctor's office.
Yeah.
And when that whole change, people were showing up ready for their appointments, we're like, your insurance isn't active
this year.
Yeah, this year.
That's
impossible.
It like screwed with everybody,
and we were like, nope, it's inactive because New York State changed their guidelines and regulations.
Yep,
and they were like, well, they didn't notify me. We're like, yeah. And then they're yelling at us, and we're like, no, it's listen.
Well they didn't.
You're like, it's not our fault.
Well, they didn't notify any of the doctors either.
Like, yeah,
from what I didn't know
because like we were seeing patients and then just not getting money, and so my boss was like looking into it and like, oh. Literally every Fidelis Medicare patient just got upended, and like Fidelis is one of the biggest Medicare providers in the area.
Yeah. Yep.
It was wild. It was just, it's just awful.
So all that, because when you said you were on a pump in the first like 6 months,
yeah,
shocks me because
that was pretty cool.
Because it took me like 3 years, like 2 years maybe.
Were you trying to get on the pump?
Yeah. And okay. Like we worked with Medtronic and Medtronic was like fighting with my insurance.
So I wasn't on. So I think my parents had really, really good insurance, obviously. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what their deal was like insurance, but I think my dad had really, really good insurance and it was like, they didn't care. They were like, we want you on this like right away, which was like super helpful. Like they were like, my parents have always been like super supportive and like my diabetes and just wanted me to get the best like care and want me to be like, they'll ask That's me like good. Once a while. They're like, how's your diabetes? And it's like, could be better. Could be worse. You know, like some months are really good. And then like you said, like for some reason it's like, I'm doing the same shit, but my blood sugars are high
yeah.
for like,
yeah,
it's like literally like my blood sugar, like coast of the line of like 207 all night last night. Granted, I should be happy with that considering everything I told Zach that I ate last night. We were supposed to have friends over last night.
Uh-huh.
And sickness came up. They come over and I had already ordered enough pizza to like feed up four people.
So what's like the one food that like pizza. Just it's that's what fucks you up bad.
Yeah.
Like that's the one. Pizza? Pasta. What about you? Pasta?
Mm-hmm. Well, I switched over to whole wheat pasta now. So.
Does that actually make a big difference?
Yeah. Really? Your body metabolizes it differently.
Hmm.
So it's less of this and well, it's less of this and just more of like
gradual and down. Hmm.
That.
So it's not just the like
it's
super spike.
For everybody listening, I was making very fun hand gestures that you're never going to be able to see. So just
until we get our video.
Yeah, but I'm not going to redo this episode just our hand.
We're going to put a camera, we're going to play the audio and we're going to like mime it. Everything. Yeah.
Yeah, have fun with that. But I would say definitely pizza for me is the one food that just like.
Yeah.
And probably just because when I eat pizza, I eat an exorbitant amount of pizza.
Well, it's like you fold it in half and it's like it's half the size of a normal slice of pizza.
It's not a full slice of pizza.
Four or five bites. Yeah. Like before my stomach realizes it's full, I've had like eight pieces. I mean, like, let's just go for a cool 10 or a baker's dozen. I don't know.
Yeah.
What about you? I asked him first.
Yeah. So pizza is definitely one, but for me, I'm sorry. Well, no, that's like second. That's my second worst. Rice.
I didn't know we could have a list. You said one.
Well, it's so it goes rice and then pizza.
Rice is evil.
Rice,
but I don't eat it enough.
I love rice, but you are right.
Like Chinese food. Like I'll eat like a cup of rice. If I eat like 2 cups of rice, I will be up all night.
Well, and
with like high. I mean, like high all night.
Isn't it also, I think the other thing with like Chinese food though, because I love Chinese food, but like all their sauces are really sweet too and have a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
In them.
I didn't think about that.
You're a literal chef.
I know. I didn't think about it. Yeah, but I'm not that kind of chef.
It's not a Chinese chef.
I'm not a Chinese chef.
We already established you super white.
I didn't say you need to know what's in the sauce, but the fact that you hadn't thought of it while eating it.
I mean, I don't get like the General Tso's. I do like chicken
and American.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. The worst one.
Yeah.
So I'll get chicken and broccoli. That's why it's weird to me. Like chicken and broccoli, there can't be a lot of sugar in chicken and broccoli.
True. There's just rice.
Yeah. But an egg roll. I wonder how many carbs are in a fucking egg roll. That's just straight. That's just a roll of. No, phone. Oh, phone.
Somebody's beeping.
Oh, that's me. Sorry.
You're fine. I honestly thought it was a pump vibrating.
No,
so.
No. That'll happen though at some point. I'm sure.
So we're okay.
So we are nowhere right now. We are in the middle of no man's land.
That's fine.
All things diabetes. There's no outline anymore.
Yeah.
So you started with Medtronic.
Yeah.
What infusion set did you use? And why was it the Paradigm Silhouette?
I don't remember what I started out with. Was that the one that you like stuck in like the cartridge like presser thingy and it like went into you?
No.
Was that the one that
it was like it was the went in an angle with your hand?
So nope. I had a pump I had a pump before Medtronic. It was called the Cosmo. I forget like what the brand was, but they went out of business. They went out of business.
I've never heard of that.
How old are you, by the way?
31. I'm going to be 32 in November.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I was just trying to figure out.
We all got diabetes within like
the same time.
A year of each other. Because I'm 32.
What did the government do back then to us? And why is it related to the giant airport in Denver that nobody knows what's underneath it?
Yeah, it's connected to all the Walmarts in the state or the country.
And the gay frogs.
Yeah.
The hell?
Have you not heard that Alex Jones like rant freak out where he's like, they're turning the frogs gay?
No.
Yeah, it was. He was talking about stuff they're putting in the water.
I love it.
Yeah.
Bud Light.
Yes, they're putting Bud Light in the water, and that's what caused our diabetes.
Yeah, yeah.
I meant the gay frogs, but sure. All right, where were we? Sorry.
So infusion set. So, yes, I was on an infusion set that went in, like, at an angle.
I hate those.
It was so, like, it was, like, the thing was, like, that long.
Yeah.
And have you guys ever had, like, issues with, like, blood pooling under the skin?
Yep. Yeah.
And then like you take it out and it's just
Yeah, it still happens to me.
So it's so funny, like it happened. My sister, her boyfriend, and my girlfriend, they were like, I had to like change my site. And I'm just like standing, like talking to them, and I just like take it out and there just goes and it hits like a water glass and you can hear it, like it goes ding. Oh, and I'm just like
a picture of the glass.
Oh yeah. Well, no, I didn't take a picture of it, but I cleaned it. That's disgusting.
What if
somebody got diabetes from that?
Did you listen to, I said that last episode. My friend drank my blood, didn't get the diabetes.
Oh, God. So I'm just, like, over in the kitchen, like, like at the sink like this. And I'm like, babe, it's okay. Like, well, it'll be all right. I'm like, that's a lot of blood. It's just, like, pulsing out.
You're like, I hit an artery and I'm currently bleeding out.
Yeah, she's like, are you okay? Like, I don't think this is normal. I was like, no, this happens like once in a while. And it really does. But the first time that happened to me,
it was horrified.
I was so scared. Like, so it was on that infusion set that like went in at an angle. And it was just like weird because it was never like, you never had like an idea if it was like you were going too deep or too, you know what I mean? Shallow. Sometimes you could go in too, and you just hit something. Yep. And I'm I'm just like in the car with my mom. I just had to change my site. So I'm like in the passenger seat and I like take it out and there's just blood. I'm like, mom, what's going on? She's like, it's okay.
Like, I'm dying.
Yeah. And then it was fine. And like now I just like press it out because I just like, I need to get on with my day. Like I don't have time for this shit.
Yeah.
And then you're bruised.
Yes. I have another funny like blood story. It wasn't with a site. It was pricking my finger.
Oh, those are good.
And so there was one time I was in high school and I had a bunch of like we was a bunch of friends sitting around. We were like eating lunch or I don't know what all we were doing. We're all sitting around and I'm like checking my blood and I pricked my finger and I'm sitting there and like no blood's coming out and I'm getting annoyed. And so I like squeeze it, my finger hard, and all of a sudden it like just like spurts out.
Hit a little capillary.
Yeah. And it was weird because it like spurted out and everyone was like, oh. And then all of a sudden there was just this like little like
rain of blood.
Yeah. Fine mist. Like some of my friends were like, oh my gosh, I've got little red spots on me. I'm like, yep.
I used to try to get that to happen on purpose. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, I hope I hit a capillary today, because I would like squeeze it, and then like whatever I was standing next to, I would just like paint the wall red with my blood, and it would just like blood spatter everywhere, and then I'd be like, oh, that's pretty cool, and then I'd clean it off.
Wow.
There is so much wrong with me.
Jesus.
The joys of being a diabetic.
Oh, it's great. So much fun.
But so those infusion sets I talk about,
they're terrible.
They're the reason why I keep, okay, I'm not going to blame it on them. But like I can't put sites in my thighs anymore because I have so much scar tissue.
Oh,
because from being non-compliant so long, I would leave those silhouettes in for like 7 days, Jesus. 9 days, 10 days until it would like turn red. And
I mean,
underneath. For our listeners, they're only supposed to be in for like 3 days.
I start turning. I start getting itchy and like weird at like day four. If I keep it in for that long, it's like, and then I get like a little I don't know, just from the adhesive, just like that area. And it's like hard as a rock, like
yep.
going from all the insulin going in. So were you just like not giving yourself like insulin for like a little bit like of a
oh,
time?
Oh no,
too?
I take all my insulin.
You would take it, you just didn't check your sugar. Yeah. So you're just
so like I could be like, well, I know what I'm eating. I'll do enough not to go to the hospital, but like mm-hmm. I didn't want to deal with it. So
yeah.
just eat, take the insulin. Every so often I'd test, but then it got to the point where I was just like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to do that whole testing thing right now.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah.
So did you ever go through a phase like that, like a non-compliant phase where you just kind of
yeah,
were like, ah, screw it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I was like 18 or 19. I was just like, just not checking enough, you know. I would stay on top of like my infusion sets and all that, but it was just like one more thing that like I had to like do that I just didn't want to do, you yeah. know. It's like I want to go hang out with my friends and do not think about it, you know.
Yep.
Like what and eat what I want and like yeah and eat what I want and whatever. And I like say like, you know, I always like wanted to check more, but I feel like it was just always like one of those things where it was like I'd check like in the morning, right? And then I'd have my day because it was just like work, right? So being like a chef or whatever, you're working from, you know, like noon to like sometimes like 11 at night. And sometimes it's just like balls to the wall. Yeah. Like you're just prepping all day and then you go right into service and there's like no like time. And you're just like, I'm hungry, right? I'm not going to like, I don't have time to like stop and check my blood sugar. I'm just going to eat like whatever's available, which like most of the time isn't like the best things for like diabetics. It's yeah. like there's always bread. Like desserts are like always around, like cookies and shit. Like I was lucky.
Stuff.
Yeah, like so you know you're hungry and it's just like I'm just going to like put like in my mouth like what's closest to me and then maybe take some insulin or whatever. Which is why like this, you know, the T-Slim with Dexcom is like so great because I'm getting alerts, you know, I know what my blood sugars are now. And also like, you know, if I have one of those instances where it's just like, you know what, like fuck it today. Like I'm busy. Like I don't have time for this. Like my pump will still give me, you know, insulin to bring me down somewhat. You know what I mean?
It's not perfect.
It's not perfect.
It's better than nothing.
It's yeah. It's not perfect, but it's definitely better. so yeah.
So did you, like, when you graduated high school, you're like 18, 19, was that also when you started working in, like, the food industry?
So my first job, I worked as a dishwasher. And it's, like, my chef's, like, how I got into everything, like, my chef's story, I guess you want to call it, is, like, so generic. It's like, oh, yeah, my parents, like, they always cooked food, and I was a dishwasher. But it's, like, that's kind of, like, really like what catapulted me into it, I think.
Can you come up with a more interesting story for the listeners?
Are you serious?
No.
He's like, oh wait, did we have to do that?
Oh god.
He just looked at me with the street. Are you serious?
Are you? anyways.
That's my favorite part of this whole episode so far.
You know what? Your story's not interesting enough. Let's redo the podcast and come up with something better.
Yeah. So first job, dishwashed at a restaurant. Didn't last very long. I don't think they wanted me there to like really begin with. It's like kind of like one of those things like my dad went to the owner and he was like, yeah, he's like looking for a job. And they're like, okay. Like, and then the owner, like I lasted like 3 weeks. It was like under the table. Sorry if you people shouldn't know that. I was under the table. And I couldn't come in for like one shift. Like it had something. I had like a like literally an appointment for like my diabetes or something like that.
And they're like, yeah, fired.
Yeah, but yeah. I went in the next day. They're like, yeah, chef wants to talk to you. I'm like, okay. So I walk in. He's like, yeah, we're gonna have to let you go. Blah blah blah. I'm like, okay. They already had like another guy there, like washing dishes, and like later I find out that he had hired this kid before like I came on. So like they were just looking for reasons yeah. to fucking get rid of me. You know what I mean? Like
they were like trying to
yeah. like, they're like, yes, he like this is an excuse.
They're like, drop a dish.
Yeah,
Up, you're gone.
Yeah. So then the chef kind of felt bad. His dad like owned this cheesecake company or whatever. And he was like, yeah.
Cheesecake.
No, no. It's called Cheesecake Company. They came first. No, I'm just joking. I don't know. I don't remember what it was called. And he was like, hey, like, if you're looking for a job, like, but you could tell he felt bad. Like, he was like, I feel bad that we fired you for that shit, but I hired this other guy, so I got to bring him in, you know, like, get out of here. Get out of here. And then I worked in a nursing home for like 4 or 5 years in like the food part. So it wasn't like anything crazy, you know, but it was like I was still around food, you know, washed a lot of dishes there. But it was good because, you know, have you guys ever worked in a nursing home before or ever been around people that are like about to like just croak?
I mean, yeah, both my grandparents lived in a nursing home.
Yeah.
For like the last few years of their lives. So I was there.
Yeah.
An okay amount.
Yeah. It was sad. Like, you know, you'd go in, people would be there one day and the next day they're just like, where's Jim? Well, he passed away in his sleep last night. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I like Jim. Like, I know what he likes in his coffee. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So did that for a few years.
Not fun place to work.
No, it wasn't. No, I was like.
But I will say. Not to cut you off, but I'm going to.
Yeah.
Like when my grandmother went to the nursing home first, then my grandfather went into the nursing home. He actually ended up passing away first.
Mm-hmm.
The kitchen staff,
yeah,
was the staff who would like check on my grandmother throughout the day. The kitchen staff, yeah, they would. Well, the nurses did their job. No. It's they're understaffed and there's too many people. But the kitchen staff just like cared about my grandmother. The kitchen staff showed up at her funeral and stuff like that.
Wow.
Like I knew the staff.
Yeah.
Because of the amount that my grandma would talk about them.
Yeah.
So like
I think it's like it's a personal thing when you're feeding ever or like taking it's food is something that everybody experiences, right? Like
yeah.
It's a communal thing, which I think is like part of like why I like it so much. You know, when I cook something, if I think it's delicious, like I want everybody else to like try it and I want them to be as pumped about it as I am. Usually I'm not, I feel like people aren't as pumped as I want. I want people to be like, this is the best thing ever. And they're just like, wow, this is really good. I'm like,
and you're like, you are way too not excited for that.
Has my brother ever disappointed you with a reaction?
No, because your bro just like just he eats a lot. Yeah. he just shovels food in his mouth. We're like, is it good? It's great. Get me another cocktail. Yeah, okay.
But you no, they're know my brother.
Nah. So nursing home. Towards the end of like my nursing home like career, I was like, you know, I need to like figure out what I really want to do in my life. I took some like general ed classes at the community college in Herkimer and was like, all right, like, what do I want to do? Like, I don't know. Like, what am I good at? Like, what am I really passionate about? And I was like, I'm just going to do it. Like, I'm just going to go to culinary school. So decided to like go to culinary school.
So do you think it was seeing the old people get pumped for the food or the diabetes that made you super passionate about food?
Oh, no, neither. Yeah, definitely not the old people. I mean, I just wanted them.
What a weird question, Zach.
Yeah, Zach.
You were thinking this.
I don't think anything.
Yeah, so I decided to go to culinary school. Have you guys ever heard of CIA? Culinary Institute of America, not the CIA.
I don't think I have.
No. Okay.
No.
So CIA, it's like one of the biggest culinary schools in the country.
Really?
Super well known. It's been around for like, I don't know. I don't want to say 100 years, but probably around 100 years.
Wow.
Dang. Down near Poughkeepsie, it's literally you go there and it's like Hogwarts for like culinary school. Literally, like they have a great hall. Like
I want to go.
It's.
Do they have a sorting hat?
No,
it would be a chef's hat, dummy. Dummy.
A chef's hat could still sort.
Dummy. Yeah.
No, what are they going to shift?
I'm sure they're different kind of chefs. Am I right? Are there different kind of chefs?
There are. There's all different types, like Chinese chefs. I think it was one of my girlfriend's like aunts. She like came up to me and she's like, So I was talking to Carly, and she told me that you're a sushi chef somewhere. So we're, I'm like, well, I'm a sous chef. I'm a sous chef.
Like an Indian chef.
American
chef. Similar syllables, yeah. but not the
She's
same
like, I heard
words.
You're a sushi chef somewhere. I'm like, no. I'm a sous chef. Is that what she said? Oh, what's the difference? I don't think she said what's the difference, but maybe. I don't remember. I just thought that was funny.
Your aunt's not going to listen to this anyway.
It's okay.
So I have watched a lot of Hell's Kitchen in my day.
Uh-huh.
Is that that's exactly what I picture, you know, culinary school being like, is you getting yelled at and
no
donkey and run out of the kitchen.
It's pretty it's serious in the aspect, like, if you take it serious, right? Like,
right.
Culinary school is like anything else, like any other school. There's the kids that are just like trying to get by, and you can totally like get a degree in like culinary and just like scoot by, right? With like horrible knife skills and like nobody cares. It's like, it's kind of a joke. If you really like want to do well, you have to like really apply yourself. You have to be like, I want to have the best knife skills. I want to be clean. I want to show up on time. I want to learn how to break down chickens. Like, you have to like want to do these things. You can't just go in there and like do them. It's a skill.
Yeah.
Right. It's like being a musician. It's like, I want to be a guitarist. It's like, okay, well, like, you're not going to be Eddie Van Halen unless you fucking practice all the time. You know what I mean?
Like anybody, if they practice, can get to average, but then the gap between average and proficient or professional is,
it's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. And like, you know, there's a lot of jokes within like the industry, like when you come out of culinary school, it's like, well, I went to culinary school. It's like, that's fucking great. Now go fucking chop a bunch of onions. Like, you don't know. It
means
like
nothing.
It means it's not that it doesn't mean anything. It just means that you have to do these things. You have to be put in like these situations of, okay, like we are gonna have a busy night, and you're gonna get your ass. It's a lot of work. You get your ass kicked. You really do. It's like, and it's mental. It's physical, which is like where diabetes comes in for me. You know, it's a mm-hmm. physical thing. Stress is crazy. Like, and when you,
which also affects diabetes.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, say when, like when you're a sous chef, like when you start getting those like legit, like chef, like sous chef, executive chef, whatever, it's an every day. The job doesn't just stop. Like when you go home, you know, so you're like, you're talking with your other chefs, you're trying to figure out menus, trying to come up with new dishes, what like ordering. You know, like our purveyors, like I'd be getting text messages from like purveyors, like at like 7 a.m, like waking up to like, hey, like, do you need this? Do you need that? We don't have this. It's like, okay. So I'm like waking up to
problems.
Yeah.
That you've now got to figure out, because as soon as you open,
yeah,
that's going to be a
yeah.
an issue for yeah. that day.
Yeah.
Dang.
But I guess that's like another thing you get like used to. You get used to, all right, well, this happened last week. What did we do last week? This is how we solved the problem. It's like one of those things you just have to do and be put in those situations. And then you kind of just figure it out.
So what was, or how was your experience going through culinary school with
okay.
like diabetes and all that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
so,
just also your experience in culinary school. I've never really heard much about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. So I ended up going to a SUNY school, SUNY Delhi, right near Oneonta. Mm-hmm. I checked out CIA, but it was like, it's like a like ridiculous amount of money to go there.
The
like,
Juilliard of
culinary
chef school.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like
culinary chef
you don't yeah,
I'm an
yeah,
idiot.
Yeah, it's Hogwarts for chef school.
Do you go to a fancy chef school? You cook good there.
Yeah, yeah.
Making fun of me not calling it a chef's hat.
Yeah. So I ended up going to SUNY Delhi. Great, way cheaper, you know. And you know, I don't think like a lot of people like think like, you don't make a lot of money in this like industry. You know, it's not like you're making, you know, 80,000 coming out of like culinary school. You're yeah. just not. You're maybe making 30 out of like culinary school. And that's like if you're lucky. It takes years to like get to a position where you're like making good money. And it takes like a lot of like just time and experience. So culinary school. I went for 4 years. I went 2 years for the, like my associates in culinary, and then I did 2 years of business under like okay. So like it was like business under in like hospitality. So first year it's like very basic, you know, you're like learning your knife skills, how to saute things, how to roast things, like the history of like why we cook, why we make sauces this way, why we sear things this way, which I thought was like super interesting. It's like you don't think about it,
but I've
like,
literally never thought about that before in my life.
But it's like cooking has gone, you know, we went back to like the 1500s, like right. Where things have started, chefs back then. So yeah, the history of food, where why we do things, mother sauces, all that good stuff.
Did you say mother
sauces? Mother sauces, yeah.
What is a mother sauce?
So
a
mother
sauce. Hold on. What do you think a mother sauce is?
I have no idea.
You have to.
Like my only contextually, the only thing that I can think of similarly is like so like when you make kombucha and you have the like what do they call it?
The mother.
Yeah. That's the only thing I can think
so that's
of.
So that it is a mother, but that's like when you basically like make a vinegar, right? They have mothers and vinegars. You take a little bit of that vinegar and you could start another vinegar from that.
Yeah.
So you always have like the mother, like the beginning, whatever. So mother sauces are like sauces that you can derive more sauces off of. So they're the base sauces.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So hollandaise, that's a mother sauce. Tomato sauce, that's a mother sauce. Veloute, mother sauce. Bechamel, mother sauce. I'm missing a couple. Anyways, so you can make béarnaise from hollandaise. Béarnaise is just tarragon chopped up and put into hollandaise, which goes like really good with fish. They put it over steak, whatever. I've done sauce.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. I've done hollandaise with, they usually use like classically clarified butter. So basically what you do is you take butter, you melt it, and all like the solids like separate. Have you ever like had butter that's like, you can like see like the oily part and then like that part like in it that's like,
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
So that like separates and you use the clarified to make, to emulsify into like the egg yolks, and that becomes hollandaise. But I've done like brown butter hollandaise before. So what you do is you take clarified butter and you just like bring it a little bit like further.
As good cookies.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
That's all I know about it. So please continue.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
don't know how it works. Like brown butter cookies. Yeah. So you take the butter and you basically just brown it a little bit. And what happens is the butter becomes like more like nutty and just has more, it's more complex. So making a hollandaise with that is like fucking awesome. Mm. Yeah. One day I was just like, I'm going to do a brown butter hollandaise. I've never heard of anybody doing it. It's like so easy. I'm just going to do it.
Is it though?
I mean, like, okay.
Most of the things you said, yeah.
He doesn't know how to spell.
Yeah, yeah. No, so, you know, it's not easy.
Being greasy.
For someone that's trained.
Yeah.
It would be easy.
So I think like emulsificating or making emulsifications is just one of those things that are kind of like tricky. So when I say emulsification, I mean taking like oil. And usually it's with eggs, but you can do it with, you don't have to have eggs. And basically you're tempering in a fat slowly. So it turns into like a homogenous, basically like mayonnaise. Mayonnaise is an emulsification. Mm. They're tough, you know, like you add, if something is too warm, they'll break. If you add too much oil, they'll break.
Is hollandaise a thing? Like if you don't do it right, you just make scrambled eggs or my thing or something.
You can scramble hollandaise. Yeah,
it's not seen good. It on cooking shows. It always looks gross.
Yeah, like you can screw up hollandaise like bad.
I was gonna say, isn't hollandaise what you put over like what is it? Eggs Benedict.
Eggs. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay. But you know, like a lot of like places, like they just get like a powder. And it's just like powdered. I've seen jugs of
really?
Yeah. It's disgusting. I literally found
I'm sorry, you said jugs, and I immediately went back to pee jug.
I've
the piss jug doctor.
Yeah. So my one, the one restaurant that I work at right now, not pharmacy. I work at another place too. He just had like some leftover stuff from the owners before, and I was like going through just like cleaning and organizing, and I literally found just like a jug of like pre-made hollandaise. And I was just like, this is an amazing find, like disgusting, but like amazing, you know? So I kept it in my car for like a week and a half and during the summer. And it was just like, I wanted to see like what would happen if it was like,
now you like hollandaise.
Was it at least in the trunk?
No, I kept it in the back seat. I kept it.
Maximum sun exposure.
I kept it in the back seat. And I just wanted to say, I was like, if nothing weird happens to this, like this can't be healthy. Like you can't, why? And it didn't break. It just like stayed the same.
I had a smile on my face at the beginning of the story because I was ready to laugh. And then immediately when you said it didn't break, the smile went away. Cause that's like, nasty. That's
it's
wild.
Formaldehyde.
Yeah.
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 That's why it didn't.
You can put fetal pigs in it. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine. It's okay. So first year, a lot of basic stuff you're learning, learning about different fish, learning about different birds, learning about different parts of like cattle that we like break down and like eat. Second year, a little bit more intense. That's when you like really start like cooking more and like they expect you to like create a little bit more. I had like my restaurant class. So each week we would do like a service on like Friday and we would do like 40 people.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So we would like, we would come up with a menu at the beginning of the year or the beginning of the semester. And each week we would prep it and then we would cook for people.
So how do you become one of the people that gets cooked for and tests?
Oh, so anybody, it was open to the public. It was open to the public.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's open to the public. I mean, going there, it's like people have to know. It's like, okay, if like your service sucks, it's like it's students. Like if your food isn't cooked perfectly, there
we go. Honey, I'm home.
There we go.
The fact that did that happen to everybody else too, where you heard that and you're like, is that mine?
Yeah, no, and then I remember mine is all on vibrate.
So does yours? Okay, the one thing that I don't like about this pump, me and my girlfriend were talking about this morning, is that like after like the 12 hours of not giving insulin, like it like shuts down. You guys ever have that happen to you?
What?
Yeah. Like this thing like pops up and it's like you haven't like given yourself insulin in 12 hours where it's shutting down. Like and it
Where's
stops.
The setting for that?
I don't know. It's just like a thing that
I've never had that. I was like, do I have it shut off?
No, it's like it like temporarily like shuts down your insulin.
What the heck?
And then you have to resume it.
Is that what happens sometimes?
Like it's like
I never
a it's
read
like a,
what comes on the screen.
Like I just there's like a countdown. It gives you like 15 seconds. It's like 15 seconds.
Oh no, I've never had that. Then
I gotta next time I go to my educator, I'm gonna ask her about it. It's weird. I think it's like in case like you pass out or something.
Yeah, but like I've definitely gone 12 hours without taking insulin before.
Yeah, it's weird.
Same, and I don't think I've had that happen. That's super interesting.
Yeah. So it happened this morning. Anyways, it's annoying. Like I'm doing things and I'm just like out of nowhere. I'm just like beeps. I'm like, what is going on? Everything's fine.
You're like, why are you yelling at me?
Yeah. Why are you? Stop yelling at me.
I turned all my beeps off when we went out to Bethel and I haven't turned them back on since. And it's been pretty life changing. Because like, I always feel it vibrate, but I don't have to hear the beep anymore.
But like, even for like low alarms and all that,
it'll vibrate for low alarms, and if it gets too low, that it'll sound off on my phone.
Okay,
for like urgent lows and stuff. I don't know. Mike would probably yell at me if he found out I did that. So continue culinary school.
Culinary school
service,
please.
Yes, chef.
You dummy. It's raw. I love the one. It's like, how is it burnt and raw at the same time? It's like, I don't know.
Did you ever have terrible experiences like where you screwed something up and yeah. got yelled at?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this one time, my my chef from school, if he listens to this, he'll remember this time. So we were doing this like special dinner, and it was only like 10 people, but it was like for mm-hmm. faculty, and
like culinary faculty,
just like just up the school, cool. the whole okay. school. But it was like 10 of it. It was like, whatever.
Small,
the
dean's very special service.
Yeah. So we were doing like chicken breast or whatever for it. And
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. So I was, what he wanted me to do was sear off the chicken. And then like right before, like 10 minutes before we were going to like give them like the entree, which was the chicken, was like finish it in the oven. So sear the outside, inside mm-hmm. still raw, finish it in the oven 10 minutes before. It's good. So like I seared it off and then like, threw it in the oven and fully cooked it. And I was like, chef, it's perfect. And he's like, that's fucking great. Cause it's a fucking 45 minutes late, like from now. And he like went off on me. He's like, why the fuck would you do that? Like hit the wall, like slammed the wall.
Oh my God.
I'm just like,
oh, did you pee yourself?
No, I didn't pee myself, but he came back for round two. And he's like, I'm real sorry, but why the fuck would you do that? My God. He was like, I'm sorry
I yelled at you, but
yeah. yeah. And everybody's just like, yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, like, I know you were a student, so that was it. But like, if you still had 45 minutes, there was plenty of time to re-sear new chicken
yeah. and then
put it back. But I know that's not the point of the stuff. Like,
yeah.
do it right. Don't waste that good stuff.
It was just like, I think what was the thing about it was like, I knew what had to be done, and I just like it just spaced out. Spaced out and just did it, like having fun, like hanging out with friends, like
we've been there.
I'm in college, it's culinary yeah. school, but like, you know, and then it's like, okay, like fuck, you just like kind of feel bad about it. Like I'll never forget that like that time. That was a good one. So yeah, we would have we would do service once a week. It was open to the public, super fun. Like, back to, like, you know, what I was, like, talking about earlier, it's, like, one of those things where you just, like, have to do cooking and like, being a chef. You can't mm-hmm. just, like, go to culinary school and be like, yeah, I'm a chef now.
Would those week services, like, rotate who was, like, a head chef?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. So, would,
you
like,
got to do different parts.
So, half of the semester, half of the class would do front of the house stuff.
Okay.
So they made sure that we knew like the front of the house, like aspect too, like taking
which
care
of like,
we need to have
serving,
like, and, yeah, serving, and clearing stuff. Tables, like taking orders, like doing all that stuff, which it's important to know, you know, both sides
yeah.
of what's like going on. Like there's so much to like what makes a restaurant run, and even more to make like a restaurant run well. I think like a lot of restaurants are not run well. They're just not. But it's not anybody's fault. People just don't know. So then, yeah, every week we would like rotate. So one week I would work saute, and then another week I'd work grill or cold food.
Do you have a preference?
Me? Right now?
Yeah.
I really like saute. I just love like, I don't know. I love making pasta. I know it's like the weird diabetic loves making pasta. Okay. I love eating pasta.
you love what you can't have, right? Yeah.
I just love like making sauces and making really good pastas and like twirling up the pasta really nice into a nice nest and just, yeah, I don't know. I like making pasta. I also like grilling. I love grilling like steaks. Big tomahawks. You ever see the big tomahawks?
Yeah.
Those are fucking fun. The first time I was like asked to do a tomahawk, I was like shitting my pants. It's like this, you got this steak, right? It's like 2 inches thick, 3 inches thick. And it's just like with this huge ass bone on it. And it's like $120. It's like, I don't know.
if I burn this.
It's like, you know, yeah. If it's
I have anxiety, just like imagining myself, like somebody handing that to me, be like, all right, now cook this. And I'd be like, mm-hmm.
Perfectly, by the way.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I actually quit.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, you have 5 other things going on right now besides that steak, so keep an eye on it, you know.
So, with a steak like something that huge, is mm-hmm. that like something that you sear and then throw in the oven or is
You can.
Like-
I do like it depends on the piece of meat. Some I've done that before with the tomahawks, but you know, if you rotate the steak, and sometimes some grills have like a really hot spot, and then they have a spot that's like not so hot. So you sear off on one side of the grill, get your nice marks and everything, and then you finish it on the other side slowly.
Huh.
So you're not burning the outside, but you know, with like a tomahawk, I love cooking those because they're so thick that you can like actually throw them up like on their sides.
Yeah.
And you can get a sear like all the way around
on the edges.
And like the fat cap on that, you can like render out the fat. So like the fat's cooked like really nice and stuff. But you know, most of the time, and also with like steaks that size, we actually like keep them out. So we temper the steaks. So we're not pulling a steak right out of the fridge. It's like sitting out at room temp. So that also helps with like not burning a steak because the outside will get cooked way quicker than the internal temperature will come up.
Yeah.
So, you know, like on a busy, night, you know, we'll pull, you know, 3 tomahawks and just lay them out. They don't go bad. People are like, if you take meat out, like it's going to go bad. Like meat
in this sweltering sun.
Yeah.
Hours and hours, yeah, probably.
If you throw it in the back of your you know, car, in the back seat, it
next
might
to
break.
Their pre-made hollandaise.
Yeah, yeah. It might go bad. It might go bad. But yeah, no, the steaks are fine to like pull. And I mean, if it was like chicken or fish or something like that, that's like one thing. Fish is like one of those things where you want
to. Live audience did not make a fun face when you said pull chicken.
Pull chicken? Oh, sorry. Pull poultry? Pull poultry.
I just mean because the idea of it's gross. Like if it warms up and then
warm chicken is disgusting. It's like slimy and so yeah, that's another tool that we like, I guess I wouldn't consider it a tool. It's just another technique. It's just pulling meats, having them come up to room temp. And it really helps with, first of all, like cooking the steak evenly. But it also speeds up the process too. Hmm. And also, I'm just like an S&P guy. I don't know. What are you guys for steaks?
S&P, the choice for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
S&P. Yeah.
I will also have fun. Like, I do have a couple marinades that I like.
Mm-hmm.
But those are just like
store. Yeah, like I'll try things like here and there. But for the most part, just
a classic steak.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Delicious. I think that's like... you know,
but then ketchup, like a lot of ketchup.
Oh, stop it. Stop
all over it. Really.
So you made fun of me for ketchup.
Clearly, I'm kidding.
Breakfast foods. But if you ever put ketchup on a steak, like you should go to jail, straight to jail.
He puts ketchup all over his breakfast food. Eggs.
Cereal.
No,
I've never seen him eat cereal. I don't know if he's lying.
No, waffles.
Like, but like the eggs, the home fries. It's disgusting.
I don't think it's that weird that you do it like at the home. No. I know people that do it on eggs, and I think that is a little weird.
It is weird.
It's a little weird.
Maybe it's a Southern thing.
But I like hot sauce on my eggs.
He asked for the Tabasco instead of the Franks.
That's a Southern thing, though.
Tabasco from Texas. Yeah. Tabasco's the Louisiana hot sauce.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Frank's is too, but I grew up
Frank's
with Tabasco.
I don't think Frank's is. But I'll go with either one. I like to switch it up.
I do Frank's or Cholula.
Cholula is delicious.
Yeah. That's good.
All right, I have a question because you brought up like making menus and stuff. Were you like, have you always had like a creative mindset, or just when it, like with food now?
Like in general.
I think like you're like a natural creative, or just like.
I think like I was always like creative, but like I didn't know like what my medium was yet.
Okay.
That makes sense.
That's a good way to put that. Yeah. You're smart.
No, thanks. I've always been just like a goofy, kind of like rambunctious, like kind of person. I just like having fun. I've always liked music, never played music, but like really like listening to music. And I just like appreciate art in general. So I just like I was okay at drawing, like, but I was never like, oh, this is like, I'm super good at drawing. You know, I didn't know how to like play an instrument. I just like, that just doesn't work with like my brain. Like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause my mom would have loved that. My insulin pump going off and the drums. Come on.
I didn't miss that. You're punk.
What, do you play drums?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, it makes sense now. I think that's, you know, but I always liked cooking when I was like younger, you know? And I felt like I was actually like okay at it. Like I was like, you know, I hadn't gone to culinary school or anything, but I was like, you know, I'm not like not bad at this. Like I like cooking. I like cooking something and like eating it and it's like delicious. Like that's cool. So like going like to menus, you know, I think like when like a young chef, like their minds are like everywhere because they want to do something like super cool and something super different and like use all this shit, like different ingredients. And it's just like, it like bring it all in. And like what I've like learned is like learn as many like skills and like techniques as you can. And then you can apply that to a range of like things, you know? So like back to like the brown butter, like hollandaise that I did, it was like, okay, like I know how to make an emulsification. Okay. Well, I know how to do, I know this is like very, like a very simplistic way of putting it, but like, I know how to make a brown butter. I'm going to put those two things together and make something that like I haven't done before, but it's like very straightforward. It's like, to me, it's like, it's an easy thing to do. It's not like I'm going like out in the right field and like trying to do something crazy. Like I stick to the things that like, I know are delicious and that I enjoy, and that's what I do. But maybe just like tweak them like a little bit.
You're not going to make like a grilled chicken puree and leave that at the base of the plate.
No. Okay. That the chicken was left out for like how long? Like
a couple days. Easier to blend that way into your puree.
Yeah, like when it's warm, it's starting to break down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice. When it naturally starts to break down as it's on the counter, then it blends easier.
Natural. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to smell that dish coming before I enter the restaurant.
Gross.
Yeah.
Gross. Oh.
Oh.
No.
But that just gave me thinking, like, could you make a good reverse dish? Like, use, like, a protein as a puree, and then, like...
Just stop.
No, but seriously. Hold on.
Feel free.
Come with me. Because I am a creative, and I know my medium, and I know it's not food, but we're going to go down this. Like,
so,
like if you, like, I don't know, like... Like, if I'm telling you absolutely had to do this, what protein would you pick to make your puree, your bed puree?
So I have to make a puree.
Okay, not necessarily. I'm just using
rest
that. Like,
something, a protein puree and rest some other
thing that's typically...
Pasta or vegetables or...
Not pasta, because you usually use pasta. I want a backwards dish. I don't know.
So there's a sauce. Means. There's a sauce called Tonnato. Which they usually take, I think it's tuna, and they basically, they turn it into like it's another emulsification, but it's basically like a mayonnaise or an aioli with tuna in it, but it's like really good. And I know that sounds like weird, but there's other things obviously in it, but that's like a super classic like sauce that they would use, which is kind of like a weird way. It's like you're taking a protein.
Interesting.
And so I've had it like on potatoes before, and it's like so good. Like like smashed potatoes and then like deep fried. Oh. They come out crispy, and it's like
that so it's actually
like,
sounds
amazing. So it's like amazing. Like a fish and chips.
A deconstructed. I don't know that that's deconstructed, but it's just different.
Yeah, it's different. It's different.
Those words don't mean the same thing or even close to it.
Deconstructed and different.
That's why I said, I said deconstructed, and then I said, well, I don't know if it's deconstructed. It's different.
It's different.
I didn't say that those were the same things, sir. Hiding behind your mic over there.
Is he always like this?
Yeah, I am. Pretty much. That's a real problem.
So now what?
So how did having diabetes affect that whole process of... One, culinary school into actually working in the field of food service.
Yeah. So before I had the Dexcom, it was tough, you know, because it was like I said, going back, it's like there's not like a lot of healthy options to eat in the restaurant sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like what's quick? Okay, I'm going to drop some French fries. There's bread. There's some cookies like left over or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, what did I want to eat? I wanted to eat like chicken breast, you know, like I probably could have like made a salad or something, but that just like wouldn't have filled me up. Mm-hmm. Like it was the day and like the days being so long, like I said, like some days it's like you're working like 12-hour days, like 10 to 12 hours. Like, yeah. I think like for me, like a 10-hour day is like perfect. You know what I mean? You know, you start hitting hour 13. It's like getting like long and like you don't sit down. You're just like standing the whole time. So, so having like a healthy, menu, I guess, for myself was just hard. And then, you know, some days you just don't eat because you don't have the time. So I'm like drinking like Coke to like keep my blood sugar like stable and shit, yeah. You know?
And then you yep. start that like...
No, going up and down, really. Yeah. So, you know, in the busy months in Saratoga, like track season or whatever, you know, they would always like joke around, like my pump would start peeing. They're like, "Oh, Johnson, are you dying? Like, are you dying?" And like, it's like, "Yeah, can you get me a Coke?" And they would just like the front of the house boys, they would just like the bussers, they would just like bring back like a mug of like Coke. Like, no, I'd be like, no ice, just straight Coke. Like, I knew exactly how much like I needed. Yeah. And like, I'm getting my dick kicked in and I'm like, it's so like when you guys get low, do you get like hungry, confused, like shaky?
Yep. Oh yeah.
So yep. that like happens to me, but it's like, okay, like Johnson's like low, like get him a Coke. And it's like, that's happening. And I'm like still trying to like stay focused because yeah. I got all
you're
this
still trying to
like I need
work
to,
and
yeah, I need to do this. And I'm like, you know what I mean? So like, you know, they'll give me a Coke or whatever. And I'm just like one gulp and
down
like,
the hatch.
And I'm like back. I'm like back at it. I'm like, okay, I'm like,
chug it and go back to work.
Yeah, I'm good. And then like, then comes like the end of the night. Right. So now like the night's over, no more stress. Then I'm like hungry. So then I start fucking binge eating. Because yeah. I haven't eaten all day. So now I'm like just eating like whatever I have and I go to sleep on it. And then you wake up, stomach ache. And mm-hmm. it's just like this continual like thing that like never like stops. So it's like hard. But when I got the Dexcom, that definitely like helped. It was like, okay, like you need to just be better. Like eat better. Like you can't like... When you don't have the Dexcom, you don't see those like ups and downs, right?
Yeah, the visual aspect of it is just as helpful as like the alerts and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's like the visual is like, that's like what for me is like, this sucks. Like, I don't want to be in the 200s. Like, get me mm-hmm. under that. Like, get me in that like perfect, like
that little,
that like little, the smallest, like little gray little area. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's like where, you know, you try to always get to. So school, culinary, you know, when I was in culinary school, it was great because I wasn't always just like in the kitchen. There was a gym there. My buddy, he was a Marine. So I think like I got like in really good shape when I was in school. I was going to the gym every day, like very like regimented diet. So I think that was like probably the best my sugar's ever been like without like the technology that I have right now. Mm-hmm. I was like running in like the 100s like all the time.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So like I always like want, it's always like I talk about all the time. She knows like I just want to get like back in the gym, like work out and like do all that stuff. But it's like hard. It's hard to just like get back.
Oh yeah. Into
especially it. Once you have like a full-time job and
yeah. Yeah.
Life. And
I mean, that's all I had to like think about was like go to class, work out, eat well. And part of my plan was like when I was in school was like, you know, I knew that I was going to be working these like long hours and may have not been like eating the greatest food, not as healthy. So I was like, I'm going to try to get into as good a shape in school. So when I get out, like, smart. Like it'll get like, I'll get like however many years and like, I don't know what it's like 6 years now. And like now I'm like 230s. I was like in the 180s.
I'll trade you.
So yeah, I mean, COVID though, like, kind of screwed me on that too. Like, like when COVID happened, I gained like 10 pounds, like just from like COVID. But it was just like nobody was doing anything. Like,
yeah,
that was like depressing. But that's another podcast, probably. Right?
It is,
yeah,
because I gained like 20 pounds, probably over the first year of COVID or whatever.
Yeah, so I gained like 10 pounds from COVID, and then when I became sous chef, I gained like 15, 20 pounds within like a year period, probably. which is like pretty quick. But I've like leveled out. Leveled out, which
I haven't.
That's all right.
We're still going.
You look great.
Everybody's like, oh, you carry it well. You don't look 270. And I'm like, yeah, thanks, I guess, but I don't want to be 270.
How does that affect, like, so for me, like, I've realized, like, with my sugars and the amount of insulin that I'm taking now has, like, gone up, like, drastically. Like,
it's just a cycle. The bigger I get, the more insulin I take, which makes it hard to lose weight. So, like, it's just frustrating. And I tried Mounjaro in November. And
it tried to kill you.
Yeah, I crapped the bed three times. Mounjaro.
What's that?
It's like type 2 diabetes management, but a lot of people use it for weight management.
Okay. And I think I've heard of that. Do we talk about that? Oh, Ozempic.
And so I thought because I failed that, I'd fail everything else. But I was talking to my primary care, and she said she's seen some people succeed on Ozempic or like Wegovy or something over Mounjaro. Yeah. And so I think I'm going to ask my endocrinologist about it and just be like, let's try it again. And if I crap the bed three more times, then I'll just give it up. But because I don't have a horrible diet right now, and I work out an okay amount. But yeah, just the weight thing is.
It's tough.
It's annoying. Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Weight sucks.
So now I have a question because for everybody.
Okay.
And I talked to you about it. I don't know if you ever read it, but a few days ago, there was a release about the Beta Bionics company. Have you heard of them?
No.
So.
Is this like a cure or something?
Not a cure. But it's like it's a new insulin technology. Pump. Yeah, it's a new technology. It's a new pump company where like you don't actually have to bolus anymore.
So it's like a legit smart pump.
Yeah. Like so all it needs is your weight, and then it forms an algorithm to your body, and so it'll bolus for you. It'll change your basal for you. It does all of that, and it was approved by the FDA.
Wow.
A couple weeks ago.
Now, does that change? Like, do you have to? I'm guessing if your weight changes, like say, hey, you go and lose 50 pounds, you probably have to input that for it to change its algorithm.
I would imagine if you lose smart learning.
Yeah, but that would be like a gradual thing though, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say. If you lose 50 pounds in the span of a couple months, probably might have to redo it, but
it's hard to lose 50 pounds in
2 months.
Yeah.
That's
savage.
But I have no idea like how it gets distributed, what it costs. I just know that I want it.
I mean, it sounds cool. I mean,
yeah.
So 20 years ago, like, which is crazy to like say, like when I was diagnosed, like that's crazy. 20 years.
Yeah. Ridiculous. I was diagnosed in 2002. So
yeah. Ridiculous. Yeah, you know, I remember like going and like my dad being like, when's a cure? Like, when's there going to be a cure? They're like, oh, like they're like curing mice right now. Like with shit.
Yeah. It's always like,
it's always the mice.
5 years out. Yeah.
It's always been 5 years out.
Yeah. It's like 5 years out. Yeah. Like, or it was like 10 years. And I was like, okay. And it's like, you know, it gives you hope. And then like after like, I don't know, 10 or 15 years, I was like, there's never going to be a cure. Like, they're never going to do that. There's, like, too much money in diabetes.
That's exactly
diabetes and cancer.
Yeah.
They make so much money.
Yeah. There's too much. And then, like, let's go back to, like, the insurance thing. It's like, then you're gonna rate me on that shit. Like, I don't know. It's so backwards. It's upsetting. But, like, the smart pump thing, too. I remember that was, like, a conversation. And they were, like, saying, like, 10 years out on that, too. So it's been...
They did pretty...
20 years.
They did pretty okay with that one.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, I'm super happy with just like, they're coming out with a new Dexcom. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Dexcom 7.
Yeah.
The G7.
Yeah.
Isn't it officially out now?
It is out, but
it doesn't sync with the pump.
But they're working on it. I got an email or something like literally like this, like a month ago.
When I talked to the, so I work in a neurology office, and my endocrinology office is our suite mate. So I had actually run into the two tandem people who did my training and stuff, because they were there for a rep lunch. And that was like in June. And they said they had everything submitted to the FDA for like compatibility, and they should hear by fall. So if you just got an email, it's probably going to be soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing because I was reading the Beta Bionics thing, and the only thing it says is user must be carb aware. So I don't know what that means.
Probably meaning that you're not going to like eat a cinnamon roll from Cinnabon that's going to be like, you know, 150 carbs.
Yeah. Hmm. So well, like, no, I mean like...
Or, you have to still bolus?
I thought you said... No, you don't bolus.
But like, what does that mean? Like, you have to be carb...
Maybe like to be aware of how much insulin is actually being used so you don't like leave the house and run out of insulin, which I do anyway all the time.
Even when it's got on the screen and it warns you like low insulin alert. And you're dang, I guess I'm not eating all day while I'm at work today so I can make it home.
They said the iLet was designed to alleviate the work of diabetes management. Basically like taking the decisions out of it. Carb counting, bolusing, correction factors, insulin carb ratios, preset basal rates. Let's users enter their weight and then go bionic, in quotes.
So we could be cyborgs.
I mean, we kind of are. I always tell people I am.
Why doesn't anybody tell me how much it costs?
Because it's probably like... It's
20 grand.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Like
ridiculous amounts of money.
Yeah.
Insurance. But if they come out with it, you want to give it like a year or two for them to work out
the kinks. I was about to say that. Like, I don't want that right off the bat. Because you know there's going to be stuff that like...
Because I remember when Medtronic came out with their first sensor and I tried it and that thing was trash.
Oh, well,
I was terrible.
I had it and it like, I was trying to sleep and it just like wouldn't stop going off. And I literally took it off and like put it in my dresser, like wrapped it in like
a t-shirt
like, so it and, this, and just like, and I'm like, I'm done. Like, I'm done with this shit. And it hurt too. Like, it was very uncomfortable.
Yep.
And that was the one where I think you guys were talked about in your last diabetic podcast where you had to like keep calibrating it. Like you still had to check your blood like every 3 hours or something for it to like.
And for someone that's non-compliant, like not checking it for a year, going to, hey, you have to check it every 3 hours. That's like way more than like.
Yeah.
Most
well, that was, it was like, I think that was like part of it was like, it's going to keep track of your blood sugars, but we're also going to force you to like check your blood sugar.
Yeah.
It was like, this is a great idea. The people that aren't compliant are going to want to listen because they won't have to, whatever. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I just, the infusion sets for those sensors were just terrible. Like,
and that was the thing at my last appointment with Mike. We have the same endocrinologist.
Mm-hmm.
He brought up, cause he's been on the Medtronic pump for a while now. And like there was a new software update. So the sensor and the pump site get changed every 7 days together.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, that's pretty cool. And I was like, is the sensor still the same? And he showed me and I was like, I remember that sucking a lot. And he's like, he said it doesn't hurt anymore. And that was my biggest thing. But then I remember the adhesive, like I would sweat those things off like it was nobody's business.
So I actually use an athletic, like a sports athletic
supporter
adhesive spray to help keep
my... They had, like I said, I have the skin tack too, like the gel to put, like the solution to put on.
Like swabs, like the alcohol swabs that had like some stickiness in them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can get them. I don't know. I feel like that stuff kind of melted off though too. Like still melted.
See the one that I use, the athletic adhesive spray, it's called Tough Skin and it works pretty good.
Okay.
It works pretty good.
Honestly, I've realized with this, with like the Dexcom and this infusion set that I have, I think it's like the XC or whatever. I haven't had like too many issues like with anything like coming off. I don't know.
I don't on a normal basis. Like when like we've been on vacations to like tropical places, you forget it. Like they're gonna sweat off
like and the humidity.
Yeah, and I end up putting the skin tack on with like three of the barriers over it. And
yeah.
I remember on our cruise. I was on the Omnipod for a short amount of time and in the middle of the cruise, I had like a PDM error or something and had my old Medtronic pump with me. So like I had like the site for the Medtronic pump, the Dexcom, and then I only had one extra site left for the Medtronics one, so I'd put that one in too, but left the old one in case something happened to this one.
Yeah, until the...
And then I was like... And then I was able to make a call from like the middle of the ocean.
And they helicoptered in supplies.
Well, no, that's what they said. I finally got a call to Omnipod, and they told me how to like fix the PDM issue. It's like, okay. And they're like, where can we send your replacement? I was like, I'm in the middle of the ocean, so just ship it to my house.
Yeah.
And then I got home, and
at least you had your Medtronic pump.
Yeah, I never. But don't they have like a backup pump?
Don't they have to have like killer medical stuff on those cruises in case people like?
I mean, I imagine that they have enough to keep you stable, but
you're not gonna have fun. You're gonna be in the
How many days did you have left out there?
That was like day two, so we had 5 days left.
Jesus.
Yeah,
but
you'd be.
But then the pump ended up working, like the pod ended up working again. But I left like the two sites in, so I had like the Omnipod, one pump site, two pump sites, and then the sensor on me. And people are like, I'm going to the pool, and people are just staring at me. I'm like, mind your business,
mind your business,
dude. So does anyone else do this? Because I started doing this where when I change my site, I'll leave the old one in for basically a day. Until I know that my new one's working, and then take it out.
I do that when I put them on the back side of my hips, because when I sleep at night, no, the back side of my hips, the butt's below the hips. Because when I sleep, I've like turned and ripped those out before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when I put those ones in, I'll leave the old one in until the following morning.
Yeah. I don't do that. I just take them out, but I have done... I've forgotten to take one out, and I'm like, and then I forget like which one's the new one, and I'm like, oh,
and you're like,
eeny meeny miny, and then yeah,
this is a great story. This past Easter, I had just like changed my pump site the night before, and I got to church and I was going to the bathroom and I put it on my thigh, and like I always remember like. Give myself an extra few inches of underwear space when I pull them down before I sit on the toilet, right? And I didn't do that, and I ripped the pump site out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, my God. And we were having two services back-to-back. There was going to be food in the middle. And so I was like, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't have time to go. I don't have time to go home. I don't have time to go. So I texted Zach.
Wasn't your sugar already, like,
high? Yeah, it was already high. And so I texted him, and I was like, can you bring one of your infusion sets for me? Mm-hmm. And so I have the really long... tubing.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
He has the shorter tubing.
Yeah, I got the shorter.
And so...
Did you get caught on a door?
No. So service starts at 10.
Okay.
Yeah, service starts at 10. And we're getting ready to go out. Oh, I play on the worship team, by the way. So
like, so he's got to be ready to go.
Like, I have to be ready to
10.
Go. And he came, give me the thing. So I'm like frantically trying to change it. And mine, when I open it up, because I know how long the tubing is, I just... and I stop it. I did that how I did it with a short one. The needle came out of the catheter and I was like, no. And so I didn't end up putting it back on, like ran out because the rest of the team was already on the stage. And then we get off and I immediately grab like the remnants of his infusion set. I go outside. I'm bending the needle back to straight and seeing if I can fish it through.
Yeah.
And I got it through somehow.
Some miracle.
Thank God.
Jesus.
So I got that in me. Took insulin fine, everything.
Yeah.
I got home afterwards. I'm going to take a shower. And I had never taken out my site from the night before. So the whole fiasco could have been avoided if I hadn't been so frantic and just moved my hand to like the backside of my right hip.
Yeah.
None of that would have ever happened. I was like so mad.
Like none of the anxiety, stress,
nothing.
Yeah.
I was livid.
Yeah. Well, no, like what I said, I was like, did you get caught on a door? Like my biggest, like I hate when I get like caught like on doors.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like walking and you just, it like yanks it out of your pocket and it's just dangling there and you're like, fuck.
Have you ever like, so I've had this happen before where your site is brand new like, you've just changed it. You're like mm-hmm. filling cannula, mm-hmm. whatever. And then like you go to put it back in your pocket or something and you accidentally just drop it and it just false. Rips right out. And yeah. you're like,
if you had a longer tubing, it wouldn't be a problem.
Because it just hit the floor and still be fine.
Then the pump would shatter.
I'll do that sometimes. Like if I don't feel like putting it in my pocket, and I just change it. It just drags along the ground with me until I feel like hoisting it up.
Oh, look what we got over here.
But like, wow. So when I go to work, I just take it and I just
tuck it right there.
Like that. And then
tuck it in your waistband.
Yeah. Okay.
Because this doesn't let it go anywhere.
Yeah.
For our listeners.
Wow, nobody heard any of that. This was definitely for these two and nobody else. So, sorry. Life's not fair.
You know, I might look into that, like, longer tubing.
Want some? Want to try them out?
I'll try one. I'll give it a try.
Thing I will say, the tubing has to go with the infusion site. I learned that. I can't use his tubing on my infusion site.
Really?
It's different.
They have a different, like, port for it to click into? Wait, let me see.
We're all comparing pumps right
now. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Like the end is different for you than it is for me.
Are you sure? Are we comparing?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. See, it's just it's a little thicker.
That's weird.
Yeah. I wonder why they do that. Shut up, Zach.
Any other questions about, like, food? I don't know. I feel like we talked a lot about diabetes, which I'm fine with. I just didn't know if you wanted more chef stuff or... Doesn't matter. We could talk about other things.
What's your favorite thing to cook?
My favorite thing to cook. Well, I did say I love pasta. I love cooking pasta. I think like my favorite things to eat are I love schnitzel. I love curries. And I love gumbo.
Mm. Does gumbo have to have shrimp in it?
Doesn't. Does not.
Because somebody told me that. Because I said I've had gumbo before and I liked it. And I forget who told me. They were like, you don't like seafood. You didn't have gumbo. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I had gumbo.
Yeah, no. You can have
gumbo. But also, I didn't know anything.
You can do, like, they do, like, seafood gumbo. I do, like, I usually do chicken and sausage.
Okay. Yeah, I've definitely had that. So if you're listening and you're the one who told me I didn't have gumbo, you're wrong. Yeah. And the further I get into this story, I'm beginning to realize I think it was my wife. But you were wrong.
The executive producer?
She's not even here, so.
Yeah. So... I really like cooking gumbos. I just love it. It's like one of those, like, so my dad, he lived down in Louisiana for a while in the 80s. So he was like basically in, I don't know, the bayou, I guess what you call it.
On the bayou.
And wasn't his roommate, but the guy that like lived next to him, he was always like making like Creole food and stuff. So my dad, he always tells a story where he would always like keep a spoon on him. Because there was just always like food, like so he could just try shit like all the time.
That's awesome. Like,
yeah,
whips the spoon out of his pocket.
It's like, why do you have a spoon? It's not. No, I swear, I'm just trying to eat food.
That's awesome.
But he was like, this dude would do like alligator nuggets and stuff like that. He got my mom one time with an alligator nugget. He told her it was chicken.
No,
I would try it. Have you tried alligator? I've tried alligator. Yeah, it's probably. I've heard it's good.
It was good.
So it's the tail meat.
Yeah,
I don't care what part of the alligator it's from.
But you eat chicken. I mean, it's like a reptiles and chickens are like the same thing.
Reptile is not appetizing in any sound.
Have you ever tried snake?
I actually have not, but I would.
I would try snake.
I'm happy for you both.
Would you try eel?
Oh,
I've eaten eel on like sushi.
Yeah.
I don't eat seafood.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you don't eat seafood at all. But you ate gumbo, so.
I have learned recently from a wise chef from a professional chef that gumbo doesn't have to have seafood in it. So unless that person was lying to me.
That's interesting. So my dad, you know, that was like part of like, I guess, like my upbringing, like food. He was always like cooking like stuff. He was always having me try different things, and me and him would always go out to like dinner and stuff. And I remember like the first French restaurant that I went to, and they made like their butter in house, like they whipped their own butter. And I was like 10. I was like, this is fucking good, dude. This is not normal butter. Like it was just like airy and like. The bread was like made in house. I was like, you know what I mean? Like
there's no substitute for like. Fresh made bread and then butter at a place.
No, not so good. So that was like one of those things that like always like stick with me was like the butter and the fresh bread. Bread.
Give me a piece of Wonder Bread and margarine and we'll be fine.
Oh my God.
That is terrible.
Yeah.
I'm not even a professional.
margarine. Yeah.
That's what I grew up. We always had margarine in the house. Like, it wasn't until later in life that I actually started having butter.
Yeah, it's so bad for you. Yeah, just, it's like, you ever, like, have, like, the squirt butter? It's like, I can't believe it's not butter. It's like a liquid. Oh,
yeah.
My mom would, like, use that sometimes. I'm just, like, I like on corn. Like, corn.
Yeah, that's it. Everybody put it on corn. But why do you need that on corn? It's the hottest food known to mankind. Butter melts on it so quickly. Why do we need liquid butter for it? Liquid butter you put on cold. That's fine. I'm getting aggravated.
It's already melted.
Ridiculous.
You know? It's like, why don't you just melt your own butter, put it in like a little bottle spray and spray pump. Yourself, you know? But I don't know. People thought it was healthy, right? It's like plastic.
Melted spray butter. Just having that sounds good.
Right next to next to the jug of the hollandaise.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were gonna say pee jug.
Well, that too. Right next like to the all jug those of pee. All those things are like
the in further order. This episode goes, the more I've contemplated like turning it into two episodes. But there's too many callbacks to earlier things that it's just going to be one long episode.
That's fine.
And it is fine. I don't care.
Yeah,
we can just warn people. Hey, this one's a long one.
How many people do you have How many views do you have?
We have one fan, one dedicated fan from the Netherlands, we think.
Wow. Yes, we gave him a shout out last episode. That hasn't come out, but they like I begged them, if you're actually real from the Netherlands
and not just
and not VPN. Like a VPN thing, send me a message and I'm going to send you a shirt for free. But we usually get 30 to 35 in the first 7 days, and then usually peak around like 50 to 60 some episode.
Cool.
Yeah,
that was a good episode. I it's like, this is, you know, not a lot of, you think more people would do stuff on diabetes, but they're just not. It's like weird.
Well, and
I think they're super pretentious about it.
Well, and it's also interesting to me because I think I mentioned it in our first episode on diabetes, like when I was a kid and when I was diagnosed, like I was the oddball. Like nobody had seen a kid with diabetes. None of my friends had ever heard of it. I didn't know anybody. Now that I'm an adult with type 1 diabetes, I know like at least a dozen people that have type 1 diabetes. Like there's so many people nowadays that have it, which is also weird to me, but I think it's becoming more of a normal thing because it's becoming a bigger problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, it's definitely not. So you mean like more type 1, right?
Yeah, more type 1s. Hmm.
But I also think that type 1 diagnosis is getting given more because like way back when it was like, oh, if it's juvenile onset, then it's type 1. But if you're older, it's just going to be type 2, but you'll be insulin dependent type 2.
So,
which might be true, but there's more adults getting diagnosed with type 1 diabetes now too.
Yeah.
Do you think it has to do with like our environment? Like the stresses of life, the food that we're eating, like it's different than it was before. I mean, also, I know this sounds really dark, but genetically, there's more like back
disposition.
Well, like, okay, people would die.
Yeah.
We would die.
Yep.
Our genes would not get passed on, right?
We're keeping people alive too long.
So our genes of like autoimmune or whatever, they're being passed on.
All three of us would have died at the age of 11 or 12.
Yeah. We shouldn't be here.
Right. And that predisposition wouldn't get passed on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
I would say there's an evolution to it as well. Cause I mean, with like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, there weren't sicknesses that we have now, and that's just because viruses and sickness evolve and change.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I think there's a lot of reasons why it's more prevalent.
Yeah.
I also do think, kind of like what you mentioned, that like the stuff that we eat, I think all this over processing of everything probably doesn't help. I mean, you know more about food than we do.
Yeah. I mean, now you go to the store now, right? And it's like, what do people eat the most of? I feel like it's all processed stuff, you know? But what's the cheapest stuff to get? All the processed stuff. Like you go, you want to like get, you know, chicken. Dude, chicken. Like I think there was like, I went to go like get 3 pounds of chicken. It's like over $10 for like 3 pounds of chicken, which is like ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
It never used to be like that. Right. It was like half that, you know? I mean, I know like everything with like COVID, like prices like went up and stuff. And I think there was just recently like a huge like bird flu outbreak within the chickens.
Oh, yeah.
So that was like why eggs were like skyrocketing for a while. But it's just like you can't even get like, and then that food isn't even like really that healthy. I mean, there's obviously way worse things out there, but what are they feeding the chickens? What are the chickens given, like antibiotics, like all that shit. So, and then if you try to go local, you know, it's even more expensive.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
So it's ridiculous. Yeah. But then it's like, but you know, like what you're getting, you know, the farmer, you know, all that stuff, but it's hard to be healthy. It's very hard to be healthy.
That is an unavoidable truth.
Yeah.
Sounds
like a good episode. Good. I don't know what I'm talking about, but.
You do?
And I do.
You guys are doing it. No. It's your thing.
I think that's good. I think that was a great episode.
That was a good episode.
Do you want to read us out or do you want me to?
I can.
I don't care.
Thank you guys. Nah.
Put that in.
We're going to leave that in as I'm starting the outro.
Yeah.
And we're going to do the retake.
You want to do the outro? Okay.
So thank you guys again for joining us on the My Life, Your Life Together podcast. Thank you, Alex, for coming in.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Talking with us and sharing culinary experience.
Yeah.
Another diabetic experience. I think, well, no, we've had, this is our first like true sequel.
Is yes. It is. I'd say it's our first true sequel.
So, but thank you guys for joining us, listening in. If you like us, the podcast, feel free to leave us a like. Find us on Instagram, on our website, on Facebook. I remembered the website this time.
By golly, you did.
I'm improving. And if you like what we do and you want to support us, feel free to buy some merch. We got some cool shirts and hoodies and stuff like that on the website.
Or just Venmo me personally.